In the Wild West world of podcasting, there is one podcast that is authentic and genuine and continues to stand tall in its originality. Based on a passion for his guests, their work, and his love of podcasting, Derek Thomas and Monday Morning Critic Podcast get amazing, diverse, unique guests found nowhere else. The variety and quality are endless. There is something for everyone. Derek Thomas is the hero you deserve. He's a silent guardian, a watchful protector. Welcome to Monday Morning Critic Podcast. Here is Derek Thomas.
Appreciate it. Phil, love the film, by the way. Just a wonderful, wonderful film.
Oh, thank you so much, Derek. So nice to meet you, and thank you for watching it. And
yeah, I do have some spoiler questions towards the end. I had a question, but before we get to the film, I want to talk about Spielberg's reality show. I guess it's a reality show in 2007 called On the Lot. You were a handful of 12,000 people kind of selected to kind of, is that a correct way of putting it? What is your favorite Spielberg film?
Oh my God.
Absolutely ridiculous question. That is not fair.
It's a tough one, but I think Saving Private Ryan,
there's the
scenes that I can't get out of my mind. There's the scene, and forgive me, I don't remember the character's name, but it's that knife fight.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And I felt like that captured something that was, you know, it wasn't gory or, but it was the horror of war in that scene.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen so many war movies from Platoon to everything that's trying to capture the horror of it. And something about that intimate, you know, when he is stabbing him and he's like, no, wait, like, let's do it over or something. You know, just that moment is so, just stays with me and is so powerful. And I'm inspired by something like that, because here's something that it's a story told a million times in a million different ways. And he still finds a way to do something. And this goes in all his films. Why is a master that he finds a way to communicate something brand new in something that seems like we've seen it before. And then you watch that and you're like, I've never seen that. I can't think of any other film I've felt that with in that scene. So I don't mean to reduce everything he does to a scene, but
point is well made. And he continues to like reinvent himself over the years and create things, whether you're laughing at what he's doing or noticing these little intricacies. That's a great answer. So let's talk about 5 pounds of pressure. We find out very early in the film why it's called 5 pounds of pressure. We find very early, and I love how you did that. Listen, great cast, awesome cast. But for me, boy, does Luke Evans put on a clinic and how to lead the way. I mean, my God, I mean, this guy can act. And outside of confusing him my entire life with Orlando Bloom, he is one hell of an actor, Phil.
I'm so thrilled that you react to his performance that way. I mean, you know, when he agreed to do the film, I mean, I knew that we were unbelievably fortunate. And I also knew that it was going to be such a huge challenge. He's worked with the biggest directors in the industry. What am I going to, you know, how am I supposed to, you know, size up and work with him? But that just kind of shows what a great human being he is and a great actor, that he could come on a little set like mine with a director who is inexperienced. What can I say to him when he's worked with Peter Jackson and the list of actors and directors and huge projects. And he was unbelievably humble. He's committed to the work. I think the fact that I wrote it helped me as a director, because he knew that I knew this world, and that helps him to trust me when we're working together. But I think we had a really great working relationship. I think when it comes down to it, and you're working on scenes and you're riffing with each other, and he always had great ideas and he really understood the character. So he comes to set fully prepared. And I was very lucky that all the actors they just came to set really, you know, fully prepared. So then that allows me to be more objective and then to help navigate it and help create the atmosphere so they could do their best work, but also look for those opportunities to even, you know, maybe help them take it to another level or, you know, and then, you know, you kind of riff off each other and then you keep building, you know, you build and build. But Luke had that character. He came to set as, you know, it wasn't, you know, there was nothing, you know, that's who, he's a great actor. You know, he created Adam. I wrote Adam, but he created that vulnerable reality of that character that feels so real. And I was thrilled to watch it. I was like, wow, how fortunate we, you know.
I love him. And if the term underrated applies to an actor more than him, I can't think of another actor that deserves that term. You know, the other character, and all they all had struck a chord in me, but Rory Culkin, who plays Mike, I think he set a world record for every decision Mike makes is the absolute piss poor wrong decision to ever, like, every time this guy makes a decision, it's legitimately the worst decision you could ever make. And he does it, and he does it through the entire movie, and he's okay with it.
And you know what? It's like what Lef, his uncle, is telling him, you know?
Yes.
As much as an a-hole as the character is, you know, I mean, you could see his frustration, which there's a scene I love between Alex Pettifer and Rory Culkin when they are having their big confrontation together. You know, when there's a scene where Rory wants to do something else, and you could just see how Alex takes it as, or Lef takes it as, such an insult.
Yeah,
you know, for everything he's done for him. And I just love how well those two actors worked together on that scene. I think I can't say enough of the performances that they had given. I mean, they're, Alex is completely brilliant. He's a, you know, I always like to say he's kind of like a Ferrari. He's like a sports car, you know, as a director when you're working with him. And I think Rory brings an unbelievable amount of humanity to his characters. Mm. I saw him in Lords of Chaos, and Lords of Chaos is a very hard, it's a true story, and it's a very unlikable character. And he brought so much empathy to a character that normally I would think on paper, like, how would you even watch this character? Why would you watch this character? And I felt like I needed that for Mike, you know, a level of that. Because like you said, he makes a lot of choices that it's very hard for the audience to stay with him. But I think because of Rory's acting, he pulls you in on those, where even if you feel like, what are you doing? You're still engaged. He still keeps you interested in him and what he's doing. And I think that's a real gift, real talent.
And Savannah Stein, who plays Lori, is so like if the movie has like a sneaky little secret weapon, it's her, because she has a bright future. And I think she has such a bright future.
I love that you're saying that. I mean, what I love too is, you know, she's British and her accent is so great. I mean, she does such a great, so much attitude. What I loved about her with Lori, and when I came through her through audition, so I had seen a lot of actors playing Lori, and they played, almost everyone played her more as a victim, and she didn't. She played her with a power. She played her where she took over a scene and she took control, and she was never a victim in it. And I thought, I loved that she did that. I loved the strength that she brought. Lori, you know, especially in the scenes with Eli, which Zach Adams, I thought, did an amazing job as Eli. And I loved, you know, there's a scene where, you know, she's like telling him it's over for good, you know, and you could have gone another way. I've seen actors do it very compellingly in a more like emotional kind of feeling for breaking up with this person. And I love that she was just like,
yeah,
great. You know, she was, there was anger in her performance. Yep. She was great. I think I really am a fan too.
One comment, one question, and thank you for all this time. You know, when you watch this movie and you're watching, you know, drug deals go down or potential setups, and you see kids playing on the floor, you see the repercussions of what drug use does, or, you know, selling drugs does, you wonder why anybody would get involved in this ever, because it always ends bad. Like, it always, there's never a success story from a drug dealer. Like, there's never. And it's just, when you watch it all unfold, the ripple effects are so heartbreaking. Like, and you see it throughout this whole movie. Like, there's nobody that comes out clean on the other side, to quote Shawshank. There's no person that gets out and says, that was a great career choice. You know, it's just, the ripple effect, Phil, is just unbelievable. The movie does a good job putting a spotlight on that.
Thanks. No. I felt that way about guns in the cities too.
Yes. You know? Yes.
I've never seen it turn out well, and I've never seen, you know, I've never seen it used for defense, you know, protecting and the, you know, the reasons that people get involved. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm not trying to make a big point. I'm just saying, and you know, there's the line at the near the end of the film, what the mayor is saying, you know, yeah. And I really resonates with me when I wrote it is, you know, when you have something as powerful as a gun in the hands of the powerless, violence is inevitable.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I kind of feel like, you know, I'm sure guns in the right hand of people who are trained and know how to use them, there's a place for that. But a gun is designed to kill.
Yes.
And when you put it in a place where people are, you know, struggling to survive, and there's ignorance, and there is toxic masculinity and posturing, and people feeling they have to take justice in their own hands, it's kind of a recipe. The heat and pressure of that is a recipe, I think, for very bad things, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So this is my last question. It's a huge spoiler, so if anybody's just going to get paused, go watch the movie on March 8th, by the way. So you wrote this and you directed it. When you were writing this, was there ever a moment or a redraft or a revisit, or when you're writing this great movie, was there ever a point where Adam gets out of this alive? Because he pays his dues. He's so likable. I don't know that I could sit next to my own child for a big portion of that movie and not say, "I'm your dad." Like, I couldn't hold that in. So this is a character who's supremely likable, has paid his dues, and he's not dishonest about his mistakes. He's like, "I messed up." Like, he's not the... You know, like when Red in Shawshank says, "I'm the only guilty man in Shawshank." You know, Adam has that same honesty. Like, he owns what he did. I made that mistake. Was there ever a revision when you wrote this where he gets out of this thing okay?
No, because part of the karma of this character, you know, it's, you know, every character kind of gets what they want. You know, he wanted to be hero to his son, but the price that he pays for that is not something he expected or anyone expects.
Mm.
And you got to remember, there's also Eli, and what does he need to get?
Right.
And everyone is doing exactly what they said. If Eli didn't exist or got knocked off, then maybe Adam would. But based on this, Adam, once he comes back into that neighborhood, he set a whole chain of events in action, and that create his karma, so to speak. And he sets that in motion. So he creates that. And because it's a world where, you know, someone like Eli believes he needs to do something and he needs to take justice in his hands. And then you see everything happening to him up until that point when they meet. And it's the same mistake that Adam did when he was younger.
Mm.
He brought a gun to that situation, not necessarily to kill someone that day, just to make him, you know, feel, regret what he did, say sorry, whatever it is, looking for some sort of justice, which will never happen, you know?
Right.
And then in that moment, he admits what he felt, right? He admits what he thought. And it's the same thing that Eli, it's the unbreakable cycle. It happens again and again and again, because it's not about... it's about having empathy and understanding who we are as human beings, that hopefully we have change, not, you know, just stop this one thing or stop that thing and people will change. People don't change, you know, unless they kind of realize, or we realize who we are. And I feel like that's why it's important to understand people who are in these situations. For me, anyway, that's what I was struggling.
Well, selfishly, I was like, because he's so honest and he came to grips with everything and he owned it and he's honest. Like, we're in a society today, we need more people like this that have owned it and are good people and have made mistakes. And I don't know. I love the movie. 5 pounds of pressure opens up.
But then I'll ask you, what do we usually do to those people?
No, you're right. We kind of cast them away. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. Phil, absolutely. This movie has a lot of things to digest afterwards. It's why you go to the theater to be enjoyed, to be entertained. Then to break things down and digest it as a 50-year movie fan, man, I couldn't ask for anything more. You're a great director, great writer. I hope you come back someday.
Well, thank you so much. It was so much fun. You got me so excited talking about it.
Yeah, great. I totally enjoyed it last night. I've been thinking about it all day, and I was really psyched knowing that we were going to speak today. But yeah, super great movie, and can't recommend it enough. It opens up this Friday.
Thank you so much. It was so
take
great
care, talking. Phil. Yep, thank
bye.
You.
Thank you for listening to Derek Thomas and Monday Morning Critic Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can also connect with Monday Morning Critic on Instagram and Facebook, MDM Critic on Twitter, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts are found. All episodes available, www.mmcpodcast.com.